My name is Mindy Thompson, and I serve in the Graduate School of Theology here at ACU. It is my pleasure to welcome you to Summit 2016. We are so pleased that you found your way here and have been registered and have made your way to this session. This is the first of a two-part session entitled Living in Community. I'll just read the brief description for you. In a society where social media and the vast internet keeps us abreast of everything that's happening, we're losing intimacy and friendship with those who live closest to us geographically. Explore how we can continue to be like Jesus and live in community with our neighbors in today's world. And just as a reminder, the follow-up session to this will be taking place in this same room tomorrow at 9:15. And so I hope that you'll join us for the second session. We are so pleased to have Sam and Ann Gonzalez with us to lead this session. They've worked as church planting missionaries in Mexico for 11 years. They're now in San Antonio working with a campus satellite location. Ann has been involved in the Come Before Winter women's ministry and are so glad to have them here. Their four daughters, Victoria, Sophia, Olivia, and Isabella, are also in San Antonio. And so thank you so much for coming and for sharing your heart and your experience with us today. So welcome.
Cool. All right.
Well, thank you guys. I'm so just glad to both Ann and I are so glad to be with you this morning and see some really cool and kind of familiar faces out there. This is crazy how time has passed by, and Melinda was right when she mentioned that we have four beautiful daughters, and I do feel a little left out sometimes, you know, at home. We do have a dog by the name of Jack. You'll hear about Jack tomorrow. He's Jack the Evangelist, believe it or not. That's what he is. And so, we're just so, so incredibly blessed, so incredibly humbled at this opportunity. Thank you so much for bringing this time that we're able to be here together. I want to talk to you a little bit about just kind of like what we've been doing. Melinda alluded a little bit to this. We have been church planting for a while. We spent 11 years in Morelia, Mexico, and we left when our oldest daughter, Victoria, was 3 years old. That's right. Victoria was born here in Hamilton Regional. We had just come out of, I was just coming out of my master's work. Anne was just coming out of her nursing work that she did here. And so we were so incredibly enamored with the idea of doing mission work and doing church planting work. I grew up in Mexico, and I'm one of those kids that as my mom is ready to have me. This is living in the border town of Matamoros. My mom is ready to birth me. All right, one of my uncles shows up during that time frame and says, "You should have that kid across the border." All right, true story. All right, remind you. All right, so my mom gathers up her stuff, carries me across the Rio Grande, across the border, and I'm born as an American citizen. There you go, baby. All rights, you know, stamp, you know, birth certificate. On the eighth day, I'm moved back to Mexico. And that's where I grew up. When I'm 8 years old, my dad got a preaching job in San Benito, Texas, all right, with a Spanish church there. So my dad gathered up the family. I'm the eighth one of our family, so I'm the youngest of our family. And he gathers up, some of my siblings were already married and they stayed in Mexico, but some of my other siblings that were not married, my dad moved us to San Benito, and we lived at 1165 North Dowling Street, believe it or not, okay? That's where we live. The elementary school that was right next, a block away from where we live, was Ed Downs Elementary School, all right? So my dad gathers up another member of the church, and we go, and I was sitting in that meeting, we go and talk to the principal of that school, and the principal of the school said, "Man, we would love to have your kid here, but there's no one in the school that speaks any Spanish." All right? And so And so my dad said, all right, so what do we do? And the principal said, well, you got to take them across the, you know, across the tracks where there's a predominantly Spanish population there. And the name of that school was Fred Roberts Elementary School. And that's where I went to school there in San Benito. Anyway, long story short, come to school here at ACU. I remember the day we left home, and the day that I left home from school, my dad pulls out his wallet. He says a prayer, gathers us up as a family, just my sister and my, I think it was my sister, my other sister, my mom, gathers up a family. I'm getting my 1972 Datsun car. Okay, you can see the floor, you can see the asphalt on the ground because it had holes on the flooring there, and gathers us up, says a prayer, opens up his wallet, and gives me $50 to come to ACU. True story, I kid you not. All right, but at that time, Carl Spain, I don't know if some of you might know Carl. Okay, Carl Spain at that time calls me up and says, we really want you to come to school. I said, I'm broke. There's no way that I can go to ACU. He says, you just come, show up, and we'll figure it out. I took him at his word, and I show up here, and I'm totally lost. I see a line of students, all right, that are lined up, so I figured, well, that's it. That's where I need to be, all right? I thought about returning back home, but I only had $50, so I didn't have money to return back home. I think my dad's strategy was like one-way ticket, son. That sort of thing. And so, sure enough, after that, things started happening. God kind of took control. So, really, really, kind of like an incredible journey, God. But we went out to the mission field after we finished with our schooling here, and we had a lot. It was incredible. It was amazing. I worked a lot with the pastors in the city and with our church, and God did an incredible thing. One of our awesome teammates is here, Sarah, that we love deeply, and she's like a sister to me, so she's really cool. Anyway, so had a great, great time. Came back, crossed the border after 11 years on July 3rd, had July 4th celebration at my father-in-law's house, my mom's father-in-law that are here also. And then on the 5th of July, I'm doing orientation at this mega church called Oak Hills Church. All right? Can you imagine the transition and just the movement from the mission field? And you know, mega churches are like, you got to go and you got to go. So started our campus. Our campus became a formal campus on August of 2013, a month after I got there, and we were about 150 people, and we give God all the glory. It's all Him, really. But God has given us extraordinary growth. Right now, we're about 700 people at our in our campus, and we're fixing to build. We get into a new building coming up in November, and God is doing amazing things. Some of our members are here, Ben and Dad, right here, man, because God is just an amazing God, and He does incredible things. So that's a little bit of what we're doing. We're very strong in bringing Jesus in our neighborhood. Our goal is, our vision is, we are the body of Christ. We are called to be Jesus in every neighborhood in our city and beyond. And that's what we do. Again, four beautiful daughters. One of my eldest daughter has been accepted to ACU. Praise God. I'm going to say, kid, I went to school with $50. You went to school with $75. I said, if I can do it, you can do it, kid. You can do it too, kid. She's really excited. So we're just so glad. We're humbled to be here. And we want to share just some of the things that God has been doing as we reach out to our neighbors, as we become Jesus in the neighborhoods where we live, because that's who we are and that's what we're about. And we want to share a little bit of that with you this morning. So I'm going to pass it over to Ann. And she's the deal, man. Ann is amazing. Seriously, man. She is the most incredible woman. I just married way up. I got my mother-in-law to remind me of that all the time. Trust me, that son you married way up. Totally true. And take it away.
No pressure on that one there. It is great to be here. And just the things that we have done, we have relied heavily on our neighbors, so we'll speak mostly out of experience. In Mexico, when we arrived, we were pretty much, well, not pretty much, we knew a little bit, but fairly clueless about how things worked and what to do, and so our neighbors were our go-to on how does the garbage get picked up, and why are we using so much electricity and you're not, and, questions like that. And knowing that our neighbors were all in our business too, certainly in Mexico, they knew more about us than we did. But and then moving to San Antonio, again, same idea, trying to figure out life. Neighbors were a good place to figure that out. So it's near and dear to us, and that's what we want to talk about today. Also, as Sam mentioned, with a growing church, we want to keep in the forefront what's really important and for us. So we know that people are the importance, and so we keep that in mind with our neighbors also. So we'll be talking a little bit about that. My time right now, just for a few minutes, I'm the numbers gal here in the family, so I'm going to just throw a few numbers at you. You might be tempted to say, you know, back in the good old days when we didn't have internet and kids weren't on their phones all the time, it was different, and indeed it was. And so I'm just going to share with you a little bit about how those things have changed, things that you have probably sensed, or maybe you even know more about than I do, these changes, but certainly there has been a shift in and how we do life and what that looks like. And so I'll share a couple of minutes of that with you. A study by City Observatory found that a third of the people have never interacted at all with their neighbors. Maybe they've seen them, maybe they might recognize them, but haven't interacted with them at all. As opposed to the 70s, when a survey showed that about 30% of people, almost a third also, interacted with their neighbors often, weekly or even two or three times a week. So we are definitely not getting out there. One thing that we have seen, being in a military city as San Antonio is, it's a very mobile city. People stay on average 1 to 3 years maybe, and then they're on to the next city. And so we have seen that. It makes it hard to spend a lot of time with your neighbors when they're moving a lot. One of the things that this same study suggested was not so much that people aren't interacting anymore, but because we can connect with people that we knew a long time ago, that we knew in high school, that we knew on the other side of the world through the internet, then we're spending more time on those social interactions than we are actually with the people close to us, geographically speaking. Another study suggested that the average adult American spends 4.7 hours a day on their phone. That's about a third of your awake hours, depending on how much you sleep. And teenagers spend about 9 hours on their phone, so that's a lot. I guess that's why I text my kids more often than I should probably. So that's a lot. And obviously, if we're doing that, then we don't have time to do the face-to-face time. I would say, though, that they do say, I want to ask who has a Facebook account and who doesn't, because we'll just leave it at that. But the average Facebook user has about 200 friends. Some have way over that, some have way less. But we can only keep track of a few of those. So even though you may be very popular in the internet world, you can't keep track of everybody. That hasn't changed. We can only keep track of so many people and really interact with them in a meaningful way. So that hasn't changed. Robert Putman wrote a book called Bowling Alone, and he looks at the idea of social capital is the basic idea in that book. And the title comes from the idea that in the 80s, 70s, 80s, in the 90s it started to change. People would get home from work and go bowling, and they would go bowling with a league. They wouldn't go, they would join whoever, people that they knew or didn't know on a bowling league, and would bowl together. Now we still bowl. They just built a nice bowling alley close to our house, but people do it alone. They don't do it in leagues. And so looking at that just general idea and what that looks like for us today. Again, he uses the idea of social capital. That refers to the idea of gain that you receive from social networks, from knowing other people. So there can be individual gain, and we saw a lot of this in Mexico. Who I know gets me the job that I have. Who I know gets me benefits in society, so that's an individual idea of social capital. A community benefit would be something along the lines of, my neighborhood is more safe because I know my neighbors, we know each other, we look out for each other. I saw, you know, somebody approaching your door yesterday and let you know. Our neighborhood here in San Antonio has a Facebook page, which has been quite the experience. They're very good about letting you know whoever is anywhere, from the Jehovah's Witness to the Kirby guy. Just that idea that there is benefit from our social networks that we have and our social interactions. And he talked about how that is in decline in our society. Everything from politics. We won't talk about politics, but just people who get out and vote, people who are part of a party or a political party or rallies or all those kinds of things, people are not participating in those like they used to. People aren't participating in organizations like they used to. It's just not happening. And some of the ideas that he defined as the decline in social capital, which comes to some of the ideas we'll be talking about. One, what we see in that, for every 10 minutes that are spent in commuting to and from work or wherever, to the baseball game or soccer game, social capital drops by 10%. And again, we have become very aware of that in San Antonio, which is a very spread out city, and we commute a lot to wherever we go. So when we're commuting, we're not receiving the benefit of those social networks as much. Another that he mentions, there's been a 58% drop in attending social meetings, like I mentioned, from church to any PTA, any kind of meeting. He wasn't specific on any one of those. 43% drop in number of family dinners. So I suspect if we asked, you guys are going to be the hardcore people that have had dinner with your family. But that's dropped considerably. We've seen that with our girls, with their friends, who don't have dinner with their family. They have dinner with us most of the time. And then there's also been about a 35% drop in having friends over. And so all of those interactions then affect this idea of social capital, which, you know, has a benefit in the world. But then when we start talking about who we are in Christ and what we're trying to do and what we're trying to share with people, then it becomes even more significant and more important. And so our church has been very intentional, very specific about wanting to keep that at the forefront. And Sam's going to talk a little bit about the vision of our church as a whole and what we've done, some of the things that our church as a whole has done to keep that at the forefront.
Yeah. All right, guys. So Oak Hills, as you know, I mentioned a little bit before, and it's always hard for us to kind of shoot numbers out and that kind of thing. But just to give you a little bit of idea, Oak Hills were averaging on a Sunday 10 to 1100 people every Sunday. 10 to 11,000. And of course, those members, we are set up to be satellite church. And what that means is either Max or Randy, who are senior ministers, they're kind of videoed into those satellites, some of those campuses. We got six campuses around San Antonio. And a lot of people say, what do you do then? If Max or Randy is doing the preaching, then what do? Well, I do a lot. And I don't mean that, but there is a lot of ministry to be done. I'm a preacher by nature, but, we think that, obviously, you know, if you preach, well, that's what you do and nothing else. And you only work on Sunday morning. And then, you know, Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, you're like hanging out at the golf course, having fun. The answer to that is absolutely not. There is a lot of systems and there's a lot of ministry that is taking place there. And I do get to preach. I preach once a month. As a matter of fact, I preached yesterday. And that was a lot of fun. But that's the way that it's set up. And so our vision is that we are the body of Christ, called to be Jesus, in every neighborhood in our city and beyond. That's our vision. And I keep it in front of my campus every Sunday. I get up there and I rally around that vision. I say, church, say it with me. We're the body of Christ, called to be Jesus, in every neighborhood in our city and beyond. And let me tell you that. That is not a cliche. That is not just a nice type of wording that, you know, people put together. We are 110% embedded in that vision. We're not just saying it to say it. I'm saying it because I really, really mean it. And I really want to live that out. I believe in that vision. I believe that if we bring Jesus into our neighborhood, I think that we're onto something really powerful. All right? Given the statistics that Anna's given us, I think that that when you bring Christ, when you bring Jesus into and around your neighbors, something powerful is going to happen. Now, let me tell you something. I'm a neighborly guy. I'm not an extrovert. I know that Anne and I have this discussion, and you know, I thought, oh, I'm an introvert. The man says, you are not an introvert. You are an extrovert. Well, I gain my energy by being alone, and that's why I said I'm an extrovert, because you know, well, I release energy as I'm with people, but I gain energy as I'm alone. So I'm a loner sometimes, just to gain some energy. All right. Having said that, I am very, very intentional about meeting our neighbors. Okay, it's just the way I am. All right, just the way we're wired. But outside of that intentionality, I know that as a son of God, I'm kind of almost called by God, okay, to do just that. I'm called by God to know who my neighbors are, okay? And so our vision of the church, all right, is really that, is really to be the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ, called to be Jesus in every neighborhood in our city and beyond. And we have a couple of things. One thing that we do as a church is that we do the belong, the grow, and the serve. Let me tell you a little bit about that. Anne is bringing that to you right now. Belong, grow, and serve cards are, and you know, it's kind of simple. It's not that complicated in a way. And I think it's an intentionality for us to keep it simple, all right? Try to really keep it simple. So what we're asking people to do is we're asking people to belong, grow, and serve at the neighborhood level, okay? As you are with your neighbors at the neighborhood, in your neighborhood, belong, grow, and serve there in your neighborhood. And we're asking people to belong, grow, and serve at the campus. Okay, those are the two ideas that we're putting together here. Belong, grow, and serve at the neighborhood where you're at, and belong, grow, and serve at the campus. All right? It's really important for us, for people to know where their strength lies. All right? So when we do assimilation classes, what we do, we're calling our new assimilation class Life with Oak Hills. And Life with Oak Hills is going to have that pitch. It's going to say, okay, if you want to become a member of our church, okay, we really want you to belong, grow, and serve at the campus, and belong, grow, and serve at the neighborhood. We also want to know where your strength lies. We want you to know that, and we want to know that, so we can connect you well. We can make a good connection, okay? A good connection. And so with that, it's important that we do that. And so those cards that you have there, okay, are our Belong, Grow, and Serve cards. And basically we're saying, okay, a belong person, you naturally lean towards connecting people in your neighborhood and on your campus. You love a great neighborhood barbecue or welcoming people when they arrive on the campus. All right, so that tells you if you are a belong person. It's funny, yesterday I gave an announcement of, I said, you know, October 4th is National Night Out, and you can get out and smoke something, all right? Well, when I said that, you know, the crowd went crazy. What is Sam saying out there? You can get out and smoke something? And I said, I hope you're not from Colorado. Well, it's Texas, and it's still country, so you know. The idea, but we were just saying that a belong person is someone who, you know, loves to get people together, you know, and we're saying if you're that, then, you know, mark that you're a belong, let us know you're a belong person. If you're a grow person, well, then, you know, we have some of those at our church, and I know you do too. Those are guys that just love scripture. They just love studying the Bible. You know what I'm saying? They just engage. We have a few of those. And those guys, although we don't have a Bible class program in our services, they are there at 8 o'clock in the morning, gathered around, drinking coffee, reading Scripture, learning about Scripture, which is phenomenal. But that's a girl person. And you might say, well, that's me. And we have a serve person, and that's when you're passionate about mobilizing people to be hands and feet of Jesus, hands and feet of Jesus, and you like helping your neighbor mow their lawn, delivering a meal to someone in need, or helping out on the campus. I would say that I'm a little bit of everything. So are you. All right? So are you. But there's a strength in that. There's one out of this three, very simple, very basic. There's one of this three that you are going to really say, okay, that's me, all right? That's where I land, and that's me. And so this is our Belong and Grow and Serve card, and basically we're just asking people to sign up and to let us know how, where they're at, so that the way they could use their strengths in their neighborhood, in the neighborhood and at the campus. All right. So Ann is going to talk about a really cool thing, and we'll go with that.
So once you have a general idea of what your strength is, which you could do this anyway if you don't know, then we also have this handy dandy tool. If you could read the music last night, you should be able to read this no problem right now. Anyone? And this is just something, I think that was my age last night. This is just something to help those that maybe don't, we kind of do it intuitively. We did it in Mexico intuitively, on getting to know our neighbors and spending time with them and what that looked like. But that's not natural to everybody, we realized. And so we have this, like I said, this really nice tool that you can use. And so you can hand them out if you want. Sorry, I forgot to. So basically, this is a nice thing, can go on your fridge, and has five little houses. And so you just put the names of your neighbors in each house. The ones that live, the encouragement is to know the five closest around you, across the street, the two sides, and the two sides. And when we first got this in San Antonio, we didn't know their names. So ours had Taco Man on one, and then it had
literally
the lady with the red hair, or, you know what I mean? We try not to keep this out when they come over, of course, because I but just to start getting an idea of who's who. And again, it can be a little trickier than one might think. One way we make sure that we get to see our neighbors, we keep our garage full with stuff so we can't put our car in the garage, and then we have to get out and walk on the street when we get out. But anyway, so the idea is, first of all, the back where you bless your neighbors is the acronym that we use to get to know them. First, the B is to begin with prayer. You're just praying for them, praying about them, praying that there's opportunity to get to know them, that there's those situations where you can speak to them and have an interaction with them. One statistic I didn't give you, one study showed that if you have an encounter with somebody that you don't even know, even if it's a little awkward, you end up having a happier day. So I don't know about the scientific research behind that, but it sounded good to me. So get out there and talk to somebody, even if it's weird. So the first thing is to begin with prayer, just to be intentional in praying about our neighbors and who they are and the interactions that we can have with them. The second is to learn their names. Again, that sounds pretty self-explanatory, but you can spend a lot of time calling your neighbor, neighbor. Hey, neighbor, how's it going? And the important thing would also be to learn their correct name. I won't say who, but there's somebody in our family that sometimes calls people by the wrong name. so you want to make sure you're calling them the right name. And use their name. That makes a big difference. If you hear somebody use your name, like, whoa, they know who I am. The second is to engage in conversations. And that, again, that comes much more naturally to some than others. I don't know if you guys have noticed, Sam's much more natural at that. He can do that. And we've talked with our neighbors over a lot of things, like water leaks or weeds in the grass or our dog that got out or, you know, good things and not so good things. But really looking for those opportunities to engage in conversation with them. The fourth is to seek to be intentional. And again, intentionality is really important because when we're focused, you know, we have kids and they have to go here and they have to go there, and I've got to get dinner on the table, and you know, got to check Facebook, you know, all those things that have to get done. If we're not intentional about it, it really can easily not get done. So we want to definitely be intentional about it. And the last one is to share your stories, and that really is a powerful tool, just to tell who we are and what we're about. And you know, people like, you lived in Mexico, and again, being from a military city, there's people that have been all over the world, and so that really, that's one that has opened up the conversations for us in a lot of different ways. So just, this is what we encourage people to do who, if it's not natural, write them down, pray about them, and then look for those opportunities to really reach out to them, and maybe serving, maybe just being with them. Sam has gone fishing more than once with a neighbor or two, so it doesn't have to always be serving them. But anyway, so this is what, again, a great tool that our church uses to encourage people to get to know the neighbors and to know who they are and to invite them into their lives.
Let me tell you a little bit of what happens when you seriously take this, and I can tell you that we're not just saying this. We really are not. We become very intentional. Like Ann said, this lady is my expression machine, and I love coffee. But anyway, there, and every time I turn around to, you know, kind of look at over here to my left, when I sit and eat dinner, I got the names of my neighbors. And so I have them constantly in my prayer. I really, really do. And so this is Alan. I can't remember the wife's name. So anyway, we were trying to remember that last time. But, okay, typical. Hey, sis, how are you? But Alan. And then I have DJ James over here. Taco, that is the way he wants me to call him. Taco, just call me Taco. Hey, Taco, I make great tacos. You want to come over? And so as we're praying about this, and we are being intentional about this, because we believe, I have a really strong belief that God has placed us where we live. We have that belief in the mission field. We prayed so much, God, take us wherever you want. This is a city of a million people, more and more of it. So God, you're going to do your thing, and we just want to be your vessels. So wherever we want to live. So lo and behold, Sarah lives in Lancaster. All right, that's her first house, her first apartment, then their first apartment, and we live in Okaloosa. And lo and behold, God begins to do his work right there where we live, in our very own neighborhoods. That was our prayer when we left. So when we came back on the mission field, guess what? We're praying the same thing. Lord, wherever you want us, whatever you want, place us there. Because we want to be the light, and we want to be the salt, and we want to be influential in who we are as a people and what we can do for our neighbors. Well, lo and behold, that happened. All right? So, we're praying, we're being intentional, and we have this thing called Backyard Bible Club at our church. It's just basically a vacation Bible school in your neighborhood, okay, with your neighbors. So they have really cool little things that came out. This was a couple of years ago. We're praying for our neighbors. And Ann says, well, today, as we're eating dinner, Ann says, well, tonight, we're going to go out and hand out this invitation, because they have to make really cool invitations for the Backyard Bible Club. We're going to hand out those invitations to our neighbor. And my first instinct, I kid you not, was like, no, we're not going to. We did that in Mexico. We're not going to do that here. This is the U.S. Things work differently. People are going to think we're wacko. Let's not do that. And my kids, like, oh, great. You know, Olivia's like, great, Dad. And he's like, Isabella, great. I'll have a little bit more on that tomorrow, how your full family get along with this. But I was very lucky. I really, really was. Honestly, goodness, I was. Okay, I didn't want to do it. So I get on my bike, and my whole family is walking. Jehovah's Witness. So I wait by the curbside, okay, and the kids go up to the door. I'm just taking care of you here, guys, making sure all the air is good, you know. You go do your thing, and I'll sit right here on my bike, kind of like that, kind of like support. I didn't even say this, but hold on. And lo and behold, there's someone at the door. And when we give out the card, okay, she says, oh, you're Oak Hills Church. My goodness, my mom, my grandma, it was her mom.
Her grandma.
Her grandma.
her mom, her, my grandma has been trying to get me to Oak Hills Church and been praying for us to go, and we have no idea where it is or anything like that. I heard the conversation the next day. I called, oh God, I'm so sorry. And so, you know, I kind of engaged the conversation and said, yeah, this is who we are. We'd love to have you and all that. A couple of months later, I got to baptize her and her husband. Isn't that? But I was so incredibly lucky to do that. All right? And just what happens when you just begin to pray, when you just begin to say, okay, God, use us just in who we are. And so that happened, and that was a really powerful. They're still going strong. They're amazing. Carol and Mike, I do know their names. So that has been an incredible way in that God has used us in that. And so it's just pretty amazing what God is doing. All right.
We'll just tell you another one then. Another one of our neighbors, they moved in after we did. We live in a pretty much a brand new neighborhood, whole other experience also, but it was kind of fun walking around while the houses are being built. And when we actually moved into our house and as we met some people, I think it was probably the same when we were inviting people to backyard back with their, oh, you're in the house that has the 3 bedrooms and has the bathroom here. And we're like, yes. Because they would walk around when they were being built and look at the floor plans and stuff like that. So we're like, again, they're in our business. They know what we're up to more than we do. But another family that moved in after we did, and they had young kids, and they were on the corner where our kids go and play all the time. And so our girls had met these little girls and were playing with them and wanted to go over. And so we finally went over and met them and just talked to them briefly, really, about welcome to the neighborhood, glad you're here, whatever. And DJ, the husband, came over then. He needed a lawnmower, didn't have a lawnmower, so he came to borrow ours because Sam offered. Sam offers pretty much everything. Offers my services all the time.
She's a nurse. If you never need anything, it's like, what?
You got to have a great media guy here. So anyway, borrowed the lawnmower, and he couldn't get it started. He was so frustrated because he could not get it started. And he came over and asked me, I was like, I don't know how to start the lawnmower. That's his job. I don't do that. So then finally Sam came home and showed him. And then he borrowed it again. And he's like, okay, I know how to do it. I can do it this time. And he still couldn't get it started. So Sam went over there again. So here's another opportunity for him to go over and talk to him. And so then, you know, just in talking and who are you and our story, sharing our stories. And his wife is a piano player. So our girls are now taking piano lessons with her. So they go over and take piano lessons and play with their girls. And so the wife, Brandy, was talking to us. And she says, yeah, I go to church. But she just didn't seem very happy about it. But we're also not in the business of stealing sheep, so we don't want to say anything. But Sam was like, well, you know, you can come to our church if you want. And her husband, DJ, was standing there. And he said, well, I might go to Sam's church because he doesn't go with her. I'm like, again, no pressure. And so sure enough, like a week or two later, they both show up. On Sunday morning. So we're like, wow, that's great. And as she prayed about it some more, then she finally told us that this is where she wants to come. And this past Sunday they were there. Yeah. Sam was preaching about neighbors and telling all these stories about neighbors, and we had like at least two neighbors in the neighborhood.
And they were across the street over there. So maybe one of the things that I'm thinking that is probably good for me to share is that I'm not making these connections to get people into our church. That is not my first intention. I would like them to come to our church, but I'm not saying, hey, I'm praying for them, and obviously I want them to come into God's kingdom and to, you know, but my number one intention is, honest to goodness, is not, oh, I want them to come to our church. I'm doing this as a human being who loves God and loves people around. That's all. That's my number one thing. And I kid you not, that's the whole reason. I don't have any intention. And I think when you do that, people see right through that. People are able to see, okay, there's not this hook that this guy is befriending me
because he wants me to go to his church and be baptized and sing hallelujah choruses all the time. I'm not going there. I am being myself as who I am. Come on in, have some coffee. Kids, oh man, they're a mess. You know, it's like, stop it, kids, and they're fighting with each other. We're just saying, I'm just as normal and I'm as screwed up and messed up as you are. Welcome to the club. Welcome to who we are. The difference in me is that I have this faith and I have this God that is in Jesus Christ that is empowering me to be a good father. Empower me to be a good husband. But I'm all screwed up just like you are. So DJ sees that because DJ had this, the neighbor that Ann just talked about, had his wife had mentioned to me that he was really disenchanted with church. At one point he got really, you know those guys. Disenchanted, upset. And it was like, oh man. Yeah, well, yeah, it was, you know, they were so, my parents, you know, it was a real religious kind of place that they were going to at one point. He totally said, I'm done. All right. But when he sees reality, when he sees real, he says, okay, well, you know, I think I can trust that. You know, because that's real. All right. And I think people are looking for that. And I think people are able to see right through what the primary intentions are. But DJ is a cool dude, and I love him. I love him whether he comes to our church or whether he goes somewhere else. I know God is in control of that. You get that? I know that God is in control of me. I'm just loving him for who he is. And then later on, you know, we'll see what God does. But that is really cool. That's a neat thing. And so tomorrow we're going to talk about how we can involve the family in all of this. All right, because we come with a whole package of four girls, and I know some of you do too, and some of you have been there. But just as we've learned, I'm sure that we could also learn from what all of you are doing. So I know that if we were to have testimonies here of everything that God has done through you, you could tell the same story. I am sure, or even better things are happening. We'd love to know about that too. So I want to thank you for having interest in this because I know you're involved and I know you desire God's kingdom to come. God bless you. We hope you come back tomorrow.